Well, as you may imagine, I mean, this is I love this Sunday, wherever it kind of falls. Last year, I think it actually was January 1st, but wherever it falls, kind of at the end of the year, that I've always looked forward to a new year because of even some of the things I had written, you know, in the short email today, just because of what it represents, that it represents a fresh opportunity, a year that is untouched. And I'm sure we could go around and share what this year has been like, and we would have a myriad of responses. For some, it's probably just been, it's been okay. Some of it, I know, because of some of the things I know some of you have walked through, has been very, very difficult. And some of you would say, hey, this has been the best year I've ever had. And it'd be all those different things in between. And it may even be all of those. You know, I can see probably places in my life where this year has been, as it said in Tale of Two Cities, Charles Eakin said, these have been the best of times and the worst of times. I mean, typically, you know, that's probably how most of our lives are, that there are moments where we feel it's been amazing and times where it's been very, very difficult. But the beauty of sitting where we are today, where tomorrow's the last day of this year, and then we step into 2013, is we've never been here before. This is a year that none of us have experienced. We don't bring anything into the year unless we want to. I mean, it's not like we discard the last year and we go, oh, well, just forget about it, and everything that happened there has no value. But we don't necessarily have to let it determine what this next year will be. And that's a choice. And that sometimes is a hard choice because of things we may have just walked through even in the last weeks or months that have majorly impacted us and shaped us in different ways. So I you know, as I, you know, coming to this time, and it was one of those weeks where I just didn't have much time to really focus on that. And I was kind of even coming in today, and I was just like, okay, Lord, what is it that you want to say? What do you want us to process as we're finishing up this year? And I think the Lord gave some direction with that. So we're gonna look at that. But before we do, I thought it might be interesting if anyone is willing to share, as you're at the end of this year, what are some of the, I guess, things you would take away? You know, some of us are more introspective than others. I'm not a real introspective person, so I have to choose to think about things like that. I don't naturally. I'm always thinking forward. I don't tend to think backwards, so I have to choose. So I try at the end of the year to kind of think back and go, well, what's happened in this year? What's happened in me? What are things that I look at and I go, wow, those were really big wins, maybe in my personal life, in our family, in ministry. What were some of the challenges? What are the things that I walk away with? And I don't know whether that's something you have thought about, or maybe as you're sitting here and I'm talking, you're going, oh, wow, I guess I really should think about that. Or maybe you don't even care. You're just like, I don't care. I'm going into New Year. Forget this last year. And for those that are in school, which in this group right here is only actually just a few of us, that most of those that are in school are actually still away. But I think when you're in school, you kind of think more in the academic calendar. So January 1st isn't always such a big deal. But I think even for those that are, but for those of us that are working, and I even heard somebody saying, you know, you just kind of go back to work tomorrow. You know, I mean, it's kind of like there's not any, maybe you get a couple days off, maybe you got a week off, and then you're back into it. There's not this, you know, 6 week break that, I don't know about you, but I didn't really enjoy it as much as I could have or should have when I was in school. I look back and I go, man, I should have really valued that maybe just a little bit more, because in the real world, that just doesn't happen. You know, if you get a few days off or a week off, you know, it's sort of holiday time, then it's good. But I wanted to take a minute. Is there anyone that maybe you have been giving it some thought, or even as you're sitting right there, you're going, you know, this is something that I guess I'm taking away from this year, that maybe it's something that has been a tremendous lesson, or maybe it's something saying, okay, that was a decision. That's not going to happen this year. I'm going to leave that behind. as I move into 2013, that's going to stay in 2012. Anybody that I guess would be brave enough to share something, or maybe several somethings, if there's things you've been thinking through? Oh, by the way, one of the reasons that we're in a circle is I really expect and anticipate your feedback as we're walking through this. Okay, so this is really a time I want you. I'm not just asking and going to move on. I actually really want to hear from you, not just now, but kind of as we're walking through our time together. So, anyone? Yeah, Stacey. Well, I hope that as we, you know, because we're all stepping into 2013, unless, you know, God has something that we don't know about that we're not going to make it. But most likely, we're all going to be stepping into a new year, regardless of whether we're ready, regardless of whether we've thought about it, it's going to happen. But I would encourage you that even as we're processing what we're going to talk about here in a minute, that we engage in that. Because so much of life, we have a choice. Things happen to us, and then we get to decide how we will deal with them. And that's kind of the new year. There's going to be a new year. 2013 is going to happen. And we get to decide whether we just kind of go into it haphazardly, maybe even reluctantly, or whether we go into it with this same sense that some of you have shared, like this excitement of what does God have for it to be? There are some things that I may know, and then there's a whole lot of things I don't have any idea, but I want to embrace it. Every year for quite a number of years, I feel like the Lord, as I'm coming to the end of the year, gives me really a word that is going to have significance in the whole coming year. This last year for 2012, that word was transformation, and we did a whole series on that. We've talked about that. We did one of our life groups surrounded about that, that really had to do with what does it mean that I was dead in sin and now I'm alive in Christ? What does it mean that I was transformed, that it says I'm now a new creation in Christ? What does it mean? We talked about that. And I know for me personally, that was significant through the whole year, that just word of transformation. And what does that look like? And so as we're stepping into this coming year, I feel the word the Lord gave me, and I've shared that at some level, is the word revolution, which may seem a little bit violent or a little bit odd. Now we are sitting in, you know, the place where the American Revolution took place. Right across the street here, in the middle of Cambridge Common, is the tree where George Washington took over the Union troops during, or not the Union troops, they were the American troops during the Revolutionary War. So, I mean, this place is just historically connected to that. But I believe it's something much bigger than that. And so as I was, you know, thinking about that, processing it, I looked it up, and I'm always interested to know what does it actually mean? And there are a number of different definitions, but there are three that I want to bring to light that I think relate to us today and as we step into 2013. Revolution, a drastic action or change, a sudden, complete, or marked change in something. And the third one, a radical and pervasive change in society. And as I think about that, I would ask, I guess, who wants to see Jesus bring that kind of revolution in your life in this coming year? A drastic, sudden, radical change that is directed by his hand through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I would hope that we would all raise our hands, but I thought back, and you know, Pastor Ishtar had read this earlier out of Luke chapter 4. I don't need to turn there. We're going to look at a few verses in Nehemiah here in a minute, but where Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And as I read that and think about that, I go, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a revolution to me. I mean, that's some drastic, sudden, complete, pervasive changes that would not just affect your life, but all those around you. I mean, if you're blind and you can see, how many of you know that's not going to be just a big deal to you? That will be a big deal to everybody that's around you because you're going to talk about it. If you have been in prison and you are set free, that's a big deal. So, I mean, when we look at those things, if you've been under this cloud of oppression, and I'm guessing there may be some of us in this room that have even dealt with depression, have dealt with that kind of oppressive nature that sometimes can feel like it suffocates us. And if you find yourself set free from that, that's a really big thing that doesn't just affect you, but it affects those around you. And I believe that Jesus wants to bring about a spiritual revolution in our lives to such a degree that it doesn't just affect us, but it affects everyone around us. Because that's what a revolution is. A revolution transforms the whole culture around them. And we're not going to try and change the government. We're not going to try and change the political structure, not even the administrative structure within, say, this school. That's not our calling. Our calling is to see God's Spirit come and change lives. What some of you were even just sharing, that it transforms us from the inside out. Because I believe that's kind of the revolution, is that Jesus works from the inside out to turn our world right side up. We oftentimes talk about the world being upside down. Well, Jesus comes to turn the world right side up, saying we're all focused, even as Allie was saying, we're focused on ourselves. We're focused on the things around us, the things of this material world. And Jesus wants to help shift that so that we realize those things are all going to come and go. There isn't a person, you know, and how do you know that no one ever takes anything with them? Well, every time they find a new tomb of some king, especially an Egyptian king, say King Tut, and they open it up, and guess what? Everything they buried him with is still there. None of it went anywhere. It was all still sitting there for them to discover, pull it out, and, you know, take it and parade it around the world. So understand, we don't get to take anything in this world with us. The only thing that truly lasts forever are the things of eternity. So Jesus wants to help flip our thinking to realize, yes, we live in this world. We walk according to this. We go to school. We work. We get married. We have families. We do all those sort of things. But understand that we're not of this world. We were created for eternity. The only part of us that lives forever is our spirit. Your flesh, my flesh, at some time, someday we're going to be worm food. This physical tent won't get out of here, but my spirit will live forever. So as we think about that, what does it mean? Who would say, you know, I want Jesus to turn my world right side up, no matter what the cost would be. I want that kind of a revolution in my life, no matter what it means, no matter what the sacrifices would be, no matter what the cost would be. You know, I was thinking about this, and I don't know about you, but I've started many years off, and even people use the words like New Year's resolutions. You know, they'll make all these commitments. These are the things I'm going to do. These are things I'm going to stop doing. I'm going to, you know, work out 5 times a week. I'm going to lose 20 pounds, whatever. I mean, we make all these kind of goals or resolutions. But most of us, by the time we get a few weeks, maybe a month into the year, either we've done so abysmally at them, we just forget about them, or we tried and it didn't happen. We get discouraged, and all of a sudden, it just all folds up. And if you come to the end of the year, like I do often, I look back at those goals and you realize a lot of them didn't happen. Not because they couldn't have, but I lost sight of them. They didn't become so important that I stayed focused on those things that at the beginning of the year I thought were really important. So I would look and say, how many of us would say, you know what, I want that to happen in my life. I want God to so transform things in me that this year will be different than any year that I've ever lived. And I'm willing to be committed to that no matter what. Because let me tell you this, if we make that commitment, if we choose to walk with that decision in mind, all hell will break loose in your life. It will. I mean, it's amazing. I don't know about you, but I've watched it hundreds of times. where people will just say, you know what, I want to really live my life for Jesus. I want to put everything in right priority and put Jesus first and just live my life according to the way he wants me to live. And invariably, everything will begin to attack that. People that are closest to you, all of a sudden everything will go crazy in your work, in your house. I mean, everything around you. And I don't know if you've experienced it. I have. And I think, understand that that's going to happen. So if we choose to say, I want a transformation of my life. I want Jesus to bring a revolution to me in the things that matter so that my perspective will be changed, that he will change me from the inside out, turn my world right side up so that it will affect all those around me. That if we're willing to make that commitment, then we have to be resolute, because things will come after you like never before that will challenge that. And again, I know every one of us, or at least most of us, could probably look back in our life and know where we made that decision. Maybe it was at a retreat. Maybe it was after a church service. Maybe it was at a camp where you go, yes, man, all my life, Jesus has everything. And then all of a sudden, you know, stuff happens and you look back and you go, what happened? Where did that go? So I want us to think about, and I want you to be thinking about it right now, what is one area in your life that you desire to see Jesus bring a revolution through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life this year? Just one area, one thing. And think about it. It could be, you know, in fill in the blank. It could be in your family. Maybe you don't have a good relationship with your family. Maybe you just have been praying that someone in your family would come to know Jesus, or they would turn their life around. Maybe it's with a habit. Maybe you have a bad habit and you just want that to be broken and put to death completely. Maybe it has to do with your personal identity and who you are in Christ, really understanding what it means that he loves you just the way you are, that he accepts you, that he desires the best for you. Maybe it's about a relationship. Maybe it's a relationship that needs to end or needs repaired or needs transformed. Hey, little one. Maybe it's your calling. What are you called to do? See, we're all doing things. But are we doing what we're called to do? Are we doing what we were created to do? Because I believe wholeheartedly, hey, buddy, I believe wholeheartedly that God has a specific calling for each and every one of us that no one else can fulfill. No one else can do what I'm called to do. They may do something similar, but they can't do what I've been called to do the way God has called me to do it. They can't do what you've been called to do the way God has called you to do it. Maybe it's about your intimacy with Jesus. Is there one area that you could believe God to bring a drastic and permanent change in this coming year? If so, what would it be? What would it be? Earlier today, Pastor Star had the TV on. It was on one of the Christian channels. And Andy Stanley, some of you may know who he is. He pastors a church in Atlanta. And he was talking about kind of this thing about just one thing, you know, believing God for one thing. And he went to the story of Nehemiah. And we're going to read just a few verses because something he said was really, really powerful that I think comes back to this whole idea that if we commit to seeing God do one thing that will transform our life in such a way that the enemy will come after us in all different kinds of ways. And oftentimes that's through situations, through people, through circumstances. And so I don't know how many of you are familiar with the story of Nehemiah, but it's an amazing story where Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king in Babylon. And that's probably, yeah, yeah. Charlie Brown. Thank you. And it's one of the most trusted positions next to the king, because most of us probably know that the job of the cupbearer was to drink the wine before the king would drink from anything. So if there was poison, you would die and not the king. So the king had to trust you because obviously you could actually slip something in it and kill him. So, I mean, you had to be one of the most trusted individuals to the king. And in many ways, as Nehemiah was, he was actually a confidant of the king. The king would share things with him that he probably didn't share with other people. So here he is. He is a Jewish man who was born most likely in captivity. So he had probably never been back to Israel. And he hears of these people that had gone to visit Israel. They come and he asks them, how are our brethren? And they said, it's terrible. You know, Jerusalem, the walls are all broken down. The gates have been burned. In other words, the city is in shambles. The city of our God is in shambles. And it so impacts Nehemiah that when he goes into the presence of the king notices. Because, you know, here's one of the things. The king didn't want people in his presence that weren't happy. You know, it was kind of like, you going to see the king, you better put on your happy face. Because if he doesn't like you that day, he has the, you know, it's off with your head. I mean, literally, and that happened. So he is so overwhelmed by this that he comes into the presence of the king, and the king looks at him and says, what's the matter? Why are you so downcast? What's going on? And so Nehemiah tells him the story. He tells him what's going on, that why he what's happened. And he said, King, if you would will, could you send me back to my people that I could rebuild the walls of our city? That once again, that it would be safe for our people, that they could worship God as they were called to. And the king does that. And so into this situation, then Nehemiah goes with the blessing of the king. He brings all of these supplies. He gets the people together and he says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to rebuild the city. Now, number one, some of them are kind of like, who are you? You're an outsider. You know, you're coming from the foreign land and you're going to tell us what needs to happen, what we're going to do. And so there were three key guys that came against him. And they begin to try to get the people to not listen to him. Say, who is this guy? And so then two of these guys are named, well, there's three guys, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. And so throughout this story, Nehemiah is encouraging the people to rebuild the walls. These three enemies are coming after him constantly, just saying, hey, we're not going to let it happen. It's not going to happen. And it got so bad that at one point, Nehemiah and all the people working on the wall, they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. So they're working with one hand and prepared to defend themselves with the other because they're constantly attacking them, coming against them because they don't want to see them rebuild the wall. So into this whole story in Nehemiah chapter 6, I'm just going to read these three verses. So just listen, and this is kind of the story, what's going on. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? And this is so key. See, he understood that what he was called to do was more important than any distraction that came his way. And these guys were trying to take him away from the very task that he knew God had called him to rebuild the walls, to once again have the city be built safe for the people that lived there to honor God. And this is what I want us to be aware of, is that if we make a decision to say, Lord, I want a spiritual revolution in my life so drastic this year that I'm going to believe you to change whatever this is, no matter what. And when anyone tries to come against that, circumstances, people, whatever, I'm going to be as resolute as Nehemiah was, that I can't come off of this wall because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Whatever that may be, wherever that commitment is to see God move in your life, you're saying, I won't let anything else distract it. And understand that there will be things that will happen. Again, often through people, family, people in your workplace, people in your school, wherever you are, that will try to get you away. And sometimes they're good things. Understand that distractions aren't always look bad. Distractions are just that, distractions. Can we be so convinced of the spiritual revolution that Jesus is bringing into our lives that we won't allow anyone or anything to get us off that focus? Can we be in a place to tell, as he did, whoever or whatever comes to attack us in that place, that we won't get down off the wall? We won't succumb to whatever the attack may be. So why was Nehemiah there? Well, he was there to rebuild the walls, because it said all the walls were broken down. The gates were burned with fire. So why did he go? He went to rebuild the walls so that there would be no holes that the enemy could come through to attack the city. Couple quick questions. Are the walls of your life broken down? If you look at your spiritual walls, are there holes? Are there places where they've been broken down and the enemy can come in? Again, that could be from a myriad of reasons. Are there places where there are breaches in the walls? So the enemy doesn't have to look for a place. They're kind of all over the place. He already knows where they are. Are there ways where the gates of your spiritual life have been burned with fire? You know, the saying goes, like a prairie fire running through the prairie. When it lights, it just runs right through. Are there places where the enemy has just blown through your life and just burned things up? Things that you once knew, the promises that you held on to, what you knew God had spoken, but somehow they've just been burned away. They're a distant memory. They're not a vivid reality. Are we willing to allow God to do whatever work is necessary to rebuild our spiritual walls so that there is no hole for the enemy to come through? To reset the gates of our life that they would not be blown over, burned by the things of life, the things the enemy has brought. I'm just going to close this time reading verses that many of us know, but I think it's so, I think these are verses that we need to have tattooed on our mind. We need to have them emblazoned in our physical mind and in our spirit, that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. Chapter 6, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand." See, this is what we're talking about. That's where Nehemiah was. It didn't matter what they said. He goes, "I'm not coming down off this wall. You can say whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. I'm not moving. This is where I am." And I think we need to get that resolute in our lives and say, you know what? The enemy can send whoever, however, to come against what God wants to do in our life and say, "I'm not moving. I am not moving. I'm standing right here. You can come and try and knock me down." We used to play this game when we were kids, King of the Hill. You know, the idea was, you know, somebody would get on, it might be a pile of dirt, and somebody would get on the top of the pile of dirt. Everybody else's job was to try to knock them off. But see, the idea was you stood there and you said, "Come on, man, try and knock me off." And I think spiritually, we have to get to that place where Nehemiah says, "You are not going to take me down from here. This is why I'm here." And we have to be that resolute, say, "God, I'm believing this is what you're going to do in my life, and I'm not going anywhere till it happens. I'm not going to let anything pull me away from that." And then it says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." I love that in the end of this part, and Paul says, "And but keep this in mind, be alert." Understand that when you're in a battle, you have to always be alert. Your eyes have to be open. If you've ever been around someone who is trained, it might be a police officer, it might have been someone who was trained in the military, that when they go into any situation, their eyes are always open. They're looking around. I was in Israel, and every person in Israel, men and women, are required to spend 3 years in the military and in the reserves until they're in their 50s. Every single person. So you have an entire nation that has been military trained. So it's interesting, when you're there, you realize people are always open. Their eyes are open. They may be working in a shop. They may be walking down the street, walking their dog. They're always have their eyes open. Why? Because they have enemies all around them. So we have to understand our enemy is always coming after us. We got to realize it's a real reality. Satan wants to take you out. It says he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. So if we're not aware, if we're not alert, then he will come at us all the time in different ways. And then afterwards, like, whoa, I didn't see that one coming. What happened there? And so Paul says, no, stand. When you've done everything else, stand. Put on the armor, which is Jesus, and then be alert. Be alert. So this is it. When we stand and we're walking into this year, or we say, okay, God, I want to see you move as you, I've never let you move in my life. I want to see this one thing change in my life. And you fill in the blank. What is that? And I'm going to be committed to stand in your strength, no matter what the enemy says. And like Nehemiah, I'm saying, I'm not coming down off this wall. This is why I'm here. This is more important than anything else. I don't care what it seems like is important. It's not important. Because this is the most important thing. Because if this changes, it changes everything. See, what Nehemiah understood is if those walls got rebuilt and the holes were covered, it changed not only the present reality for Israel, but the future. And see, understand the same thing in our lives. If we allow God to do what he wants to do, to truly bring revolution into our lives, it's not just about the present, it's about the future. It's not only about this reality, it's about eternal reality. That's a really big thing. And that's what we have to be convinced of, as Nehemiah was. He said, this is why I'm here. You know, sometimes we don't know why we're here. Sometimes we're like, I don't even know. You know, why am I sitting here today? Why am I doing this anyway? Why am I working where I'm working? Why am I doing this, course? Why am I doing whatever? A lot of times we have no sense. We don't have any reasoning. And I believe one of the things God wants you to be convinced that what he's doing in your life is that important that everything else pales in comparison. And everything else takes a second, a backseat. This is the real thing. So I want to, I guess, ask who's willing this year to trust God, to believe God for one thing, one area that he can come into our lives and transform it and bring a true revolution that will never be the same? Are we willing to say yes and actually say, and this is what it is? And I'm not going to ask you to go around and voice that to all of us, but I am going to ask us to do this. And maybe you have to think about that for a minute. Maybe you're sitting here and you're going, well, I'm not sure what that is. And I know that this is a challenge for me, but that I could think of a myriad of things. But I want to encourage us and say one thing. One thing. What's that one thing that if I can believe God to do that, then it'll affect other areas in my life, other people around my life. What's that one thing? What is that one thing? Because I do know and believe that this year can be unlike any other. Not just because it's 2013. I believe that's true in every year that we face. But because we're facing this year, I'm convinced that this year can be a year like no other. If we will be that focused, that committed, that willing to stand to say, this is it. This is it. I will die on this mountain because this mountain is worth dying for. And I think many times we're not that convinced. And so things come and they go. We make decisions and they waver and they rise and they fall. I want us to close with a time of prayer. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to, well, that's what I'm going to ask you to do. Is I want you in your mind and in your heart to think, what is that one thing? And then I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to share that with somebody. It doesn't have to be right here, right now, because you may not feel comfortable with that, or you may still be, you know, thinking that out. But I'm going to encourage you to not just make this commitment to God, but to share that with someone that you know that will stand with you. They'll pray with you. They'll believe with you. And maybe even at times when they see you getting knocked off the wall, they'll say, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute. You need to stand back up on the wall. Get back on the wall. Because this is where you know that you're called to be. And then the third thing I'm going to actually ask you to do is I'm going to ask you, if you're willing, to send that in an email or it could be a text or whatever to me. Why? Because I'm going to share that with Pastor Star and we're going to pray for you. Because I believe this is, if this is the word, and I believe it is, that the word for this year is revolution, that God is, he's wanting to do something drastic in our lives so that he can do something drastic in the world around us. Because we're his force. You know, I often think God could have picked a better plan, but he chose us. We're it. And if we can't believe him to do that in our lives, then how can we possibly believe for him to do that in anyone else's? So would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Well, Jesus, I thank you, God, that you're stirring something in us. And God, even as we read those definitions, that you want to do drastic change in our lives, radical and pervasive changes in our lives and in the society around us. As you came on this earth, you began to walk in a way that was radical. No, but they'd never seen anybody say the things that you did, do the things that you did, walk the way that you did, in humility yet power, in grace but in truth, in miraculous ways, but yet in such simple, clear ways. So, Lord, I pray that even in this moment, you would put it in our heart that we would make a commitment, ultimately not to one another, but to you. But God, we need one another to encourage us, to pray for us, to hold us accountable, that we would allow you to bring a revolution into our lives. Because God, you want to work from the inside out. You want to turn our world right side up. You're not okay with where things are because you don't want us to be focused on the things that will go away, but you want us to be focused on the things that will last for eternity. You want us to be, even as Paul challenges, that after all things that we will stand. God, may we have the heart that Nehemiah did that said, I won't come off this wall. I will not walk away from what God has called me to be pulled away by any distraction. Lord, I believe that even this group in this room right here, God, you want to do such an amazing work in our lives that it will affect our whole church. It'll affect the people around us, where we work, where we're in school, where we live, the community that we're in. God, it'll change all of them. And so, God, I pray that this won't be a year like just another one, like, oh, here we go, here's another year. But, Lord, this will be a year like no other, because it's going to be a year where we will be focused on that one thing, Lord, believe in you for that one thing. And, Lord, we'll stay true to it, no matter what the cost, no matter what the sacrifice, no matter what the distractions. We'll let you do what you want to do so that, God, we will be forever different. And it will forever change those around us. Help us. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why don't we close singing? I know there was one more song on there. Amen. Is Draw Me Close to You, which I think is a great prayer for us to end on. Can we just sing this together? Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire, and no one else will do, and no one else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find my way and bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are near. Amen. Amen. So, remind yourself to share with someone. Maybe it'll be here tonight. If not, with someone else. And if you're willing to send to myself and Pastor Ishtar what you're believing God for to be the one thing this year to see God change and transform in your life. I guess I'm going to take the offering. if Nick, I think the baskets are over there. If you could just grab those. So if you came prepared to give, you can. And let me just pray over real quick. Lord, we thank you for everything we have. Bless it, God. Multiply it. May we see your kingdom extended to every part all around the world. In your name, Jesus. Amen. The only announcement is actually on your little sheets here, talking about Operation Solid Lives that is going to start up a week from Tuesday, January 8th. It will be, including that day, 5 weeks. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited. I think right now we have 9 people that are committed to doing it. And if you are thinking about it, jump in, man. It's going to be a commitment. You're going to have to make the decision to, even as we're talking about, to be focused and not distracted. Hey, Joe, come on in, brother. And so if you are planning to do it and you haven't had a chance to pay yet, you can, we have a little, thing. We can take a debit or a credit card, right now, or you can go on the, website and give there as well. It's $25 and it will be 5 weeks that God will use to change our lives. So if you want to know more or have questions, you can talk to me. I know we've got some stuff over here as well, and that's it. Yeah. And that's for materials. Yeah. That's for, you get a journal, a whole notebook, and then also there will be some sermons on MP3 that you get as well to listen to. So, yeah, we're not making anything out of that, but So just in case you wonder. And if you feel like it and you can, come, you can help us tear it all down. It's not too bad today, but if not, if we don't see you before,